Well, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 24. I read this portion just in my own devotions this week, and upon reading it, I believe it would be beneficial even to study it around the table this afternoon. Leviticus chapter 24, and we'll read together from the verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. And thou shalt take fine flour, and bake 12 cakes thereof, 2 tenth deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. For it is most high unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. Amen. We'll end the reading there, and we pray that God would bless this portion of God's word to your hearts. Let's bow in prayer just for a moment and ask the Lord to bless us now around the word. Heavenly Father, we pray afresh for grace to help in time of need. We pray, O God, that you'd grant us grace to rightly understand this portion of the Word of God. And that, O God, we would even see it in such a way that it would be a fit portion to encourage our meditation around this table. We pray for blessing to be upon it. Grant us help again to see the Lord and to worship Him afresh. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. This communion table is a place of fellowship. It's a place where we fellowship one with the other. We meet as God's people around the table. We don't meet in our own homes in this fashion. We do so in the house of God, with the people of God, because we fellowship one with the other. But much more than that, it's a place where we meet with the Lord. I wonder, was that your desire today? Did you get up this morning and think to yourself, well, we're going to God's house and you pray for God to present Himself with us. But particularly when you think about the Lord's table, did you think to yourself, oh, we long to know the Lord amongst us there? You see, in the Bible, the concept of a table speaks to us of communion. You think of the kindness that David, even foreshadowing the kindness of Christ to your souls, the kindness that he showed to Mephibosheth. And in 2 Samuel 9, verse 10, in expressing that kindness is, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. A place of fellowship and communion. But turn over also to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And you'll see there this reference to a table in close connection with the concept of fellowship. Speaking here ultimately about the Lord's table. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Listen to this. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. So there you see, thinking through those verses, there are two tables in view. The Lord's and the devil's. And you go back through and you'll see that the table is associated with fellowship, and fellowship with communion. The point being that when we meet around this table, we are here ultimately to meet with the Lord. We're to fellowship with the Lord. And in a sense, if you leave this place, having not done so, well then this table has meant nothing to you. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place where we meet the Lord. And such is true of the table that's before us here in Leviticus chapter 24. You'll see a table mentioned there in verse 6. And thou shalt set them in two rows, six in a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. We're here in the tabernacle. And again, you'll be very aware of the tabernacle furniture. There was the outer court where the people of God would meet. And then there was the holy place. The holy place only for the priests. And then within that holy place, there was the holy of holies. And here we're in the holy place, just prior to the veil and the entrance into the holy of holies. And in the holy place was the altar of incense, the lampstand, and what we have here, the table of the showbread. We think of this table as a place of communion, a place of fellowship with the Lord. And that is the case, as we see in Exodus chapter 25. You'll see in Exodus 25, if you turn over there, and again, it's probably worth your while putting a wee marker in Exodus 25 and just keeping that place. You'll see in Exodus 25 the instructions for the building of this table of showbread. And it follows after the instructions regarding the ark. In verse 22 it says this, "And there I will meet with thee." Meet, at this time, speaking about the Holy of Holies, meeting around the mercy seat where the blood has been shed. "I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Thou shalt also make a table of sheeting wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof." And you'll see over the later on down in that particular portion, you'll see there is instruction for the bread. In verse 30, "And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me alway." So you have the issue of communion with the ark. But in the ark they met with the Lord once a year. And just the high priest. Very clearly teaching us that communion with God is only at the place of sacrifice and the place where atonement is made. But you see, whenever the table is mentioned next, that the instruction follows in light of communion. And that such is the sense of the portion is in the very word showbread. The word showbread in verse 30 has the literal meaning of the bread of faces, or the bread of the presence. The presence of God in the showbread and around this table of fellowship and communion. The priests would meet with the Lord in the Holy of Holies on a day by day basis, meeting and fellowshipping with the Lord around this table of showbread. Now we believe that we are the priests of God. We believe that we are those who commune with God by feeding upon Christ by faith. And so I want to look with you just for a few moments with some themes that arise around this table of communion. The table of the showbread, the table of the bread of presence, and things that arise to us in light of this particular portion of God's word that I believe will prepare our hearts to come around this particular table. This table of communion is first and foremost where Christ comes to us. It's where Christ comes to us. We meet with God by feeding upon Christ, by feeding upon the bread that is Christ. And in light of this Christ coming to us, we see first of all that Christ is presented upon the pure table. That's what it says, isn't it, in verse 6. Upon the pure table before the Lord. It's a reference to what we've been reading about in Exodus 25. The construction of this table of showbread. It was made of sheeting wood, overlaid with gold. That's a reference to our Lord's humanity and deity. The sheeting wood was the wood that was felt to be incorruptible. It speaks of our Lord's incorruptible humanity. Whilst in the grave, he did not see corruption. And so, in his earthly humanity, in the wood that comes from the earth, and yet this particular wood, and yet overlaid with gold, we have the union of our Lord's humanity and deity. And the Lord comes to us, the Lord comes to us upon the very person that is. Who he is the very ground upon which he does the work that he does. It's a table, a pure table. He's presented, though, also, then, as the bread of life. Christ is seen in the bread that's placed upon this table. This bread that's promised. In verse 8 it says this, every Sabbath he shall set it in order. This is instruction to the priest. He shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And here we surely see that this bread was to be taken from the people, from the children of Israel. And surely our Lord came from his own unto his own. He was of the Jewish nation, and he came from his own unto his own. But you'll see that this was foreshadowing this everlasting covenant. The word by there has a sense of according to. All of this was pointing forward to a covenant made in eternity. That Christ would come. That he would come from the children of Israel to be their Savior. Christ comes as the promised bread of life. The one who would bring sustenance to the people of God. He came as a pure Savior. Notice what it says about this bread in verse 5. And thou shalt take fine flour. Now the ladies among you here, you'll understand what this means. This is foreign to me, but thankfully there are books to explain these things. And you read about the fine flour, and it's a sense that there's no lumps and clumps in it. There's no grains in it. It's just, it's fine. It's well processed. It's the best of flours. And it speaks about our Lord having an absolute absence of any moral impurities. This is pure flour. There's no impurities in the bread that was made that's going to be given to the people of God. It's pure bread. Christ had no sin. Nothing found in him of any impurity or any defect. He's pure. So he's promised and he's pure, but he's also pierced. The word for cake that's used in verse number 5, and baked 12 cakes. That word for cake has a sense of pierced cake. It's connected to the word for to be pierced. You know where it's used? Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. Pierced through for our transgressions. This was particular bread. It was bread that would have been perforated in some manner to enable the kicking. I can't be certain, but it was pointing forward again to our Savior. This pure promised bread from the people was pierced through. That we would see in this memorial table, as we would look upon this table and fellowship with God, that we are going to feed upon one who was pierced. Zechariah 12. They look on him whom they had pierced. It's a different word, but the concept is the same. Christ pierced in his hands and his feet. Christ pierced in his side. Pierced for our transgressions. When we come to this table, we're feeding upon one who's been pierced for us. Sacrificed for us. This bread was also baked. The bread of life was baked. We read that in the verse numbered 5 again. And baked. Baked 12 cakes. So this fine flour taken from the people, pierced through, was baked. And again, surely here we see that our Lord was one who was baked in the fire of the wrath of God for us. Such is the picture and the symbolism of one that is placed upon the pure table that is Christ. And the bread upon that table is Christ. Because communion with God is all about Christ, dear people. It's not about how you feel. It's about meeting with the Savior. It's about seeing the Lord as he's presented in the Word. And feeding upon him by faith. So this communion is when Christ comes to us and it's presented upon a pure table and presented as the bread of life, but it's also presented to the Lord. It was to be before the Lord, verse 6. Continually before the Lord. We've noted this already. The bread that's called cakes here is also called the bread of presence. The bread that would be before the Lord's presence. All the rituals that took place here were the bread was placed for 7 days. And then the old removed before it got moulded and stale. Christ is always fresh to God's people. And that old bread would be removed and new bread placed. But it would always be before the Lord. He You see, the eyes of the Lord, Psalm 35, were upon the righteous. Upon the righteous one, upon Christ, and indicates that this bread is pleasing to the Lord. We meet with the Lord because the Lord is pleased. The Lord is pleased with the bread of life, his own dear Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So this table of communion is a place where Christ first and foremost comes to us. Secondly, though, it's a place of prayer. You'll see it was offered upon this table in verse 7. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row. Again, it seems to be the sense here that not that the frankincense was placed actually upon the bread, but rather alongside the bread. The sense of that can be to the bread. The word on in verse 7, that it may be on the bread, has a sense of to or for the bread. And it seems that what happened then was that the bread was consumed by the priest, that the frankincense was poured as a memorial upon the fire. So the bread was consumed as the fires brought the incense unto God. Frankincense or incense speaks of prayer in the Word of God, doesn't it? Think of Revelation 5, the odours or the incense or the prayers of the saints. And so we see in this symbolism of the frankincense and the bread that we commune with Christ, feeding upon him, and our communion with Christ is acceptable to God as Christ prays on the base of Calvary's altar. The incense going up from the altar of sacrifice as we feed upon Christ. And so our feeding upon Christ is acceptable to God because Christ prays on our behalf. Why do we commune with God here? Because our Lord intercedes on our behalf. It's very, very important to see that, to understand that we are interceding with the Lord as the Lord intercedes for us. That's the nature of true communion. But thirdly, this table of communion has sufficient for all God's people. 12 cakes. Doesn't it say that? Verse number 5. Bake 12 cakes thereof. Now again, I won't be dogmatic on this, but it seems likely the 12 cakes represent the 12 tribes of Israel. One cake for each name upon the breastplate of the high priest. But more than that, note how the cakes were made. Two tempdils shall be in one cake. The two tenths is a double portion. And I wonder, does this point forward to the 24 Revelation? Where you've got a sense of the people of God, the children of Israel, and then the apostles. In other words, old and new coming together around the table of communion. Jew and Gentile being supplied from Christ, sufficient for all God's people. Not for one particular ethnic community, but for all the people of God. There's enough for them all to feed upon Christ. This is a sufficient table. See, the priest, they were instructed to feed upon the bread. And what I said to you in 1 Peter, we have this sense that we are priests unto God. It was for Aaron and his sons. Not just for the single high priest, but for all the priesthood. And again, the instruction from this is when you come round this table, you must feed upon Christ. In the language of John 6, you must take his body and take his blood. Not in the Romish blasphemous sense, but by faith in what you're partaking of. You're not here to idle away a few moments, dear people. If you're going to get benefit from this table, you must feed by faith. We read in John 6 that the words our Lord spoke were words of spirits. He wasn't speaking literally of taking his flesh and taking his blood, but rather spiritually, that we would feed upon the merits. You see, the flesh that was given was for the life of the world. The flesh given was pointing to his death. And we feed upon this. These elements. When our minds are upon the death of Christ. And we remember him. That's what this table of communion is all about. It's sufficient for all God's people. And furthermore, the 12 cakes indicate for us how closely Christ identifies himself with his people. You see, if you've been following here, you'll understand that the bread, I believe, points forward to Christ. And yet, in the giving of 12 cakes, indicates how intimately our Lord connects himself with his people. We are his, he is ours, we're in union one with the other. It's all seen in this particular time. And therefore, in light of the sufficiency of this bread upon the table, none need perish. None of God's people will ever be lost, because there's a sufficient supply in this table. Christ is sufficient to meet all the spiritual needs of every child of God. There is no defect, there is no inadequacy. It's all required for all of God's people. The last thing we think about in this table of communion we see is this table of communion points forward. The bread, as is laid for the tribes, surely it speaks of a welcome, doesn't it? A welcome into the presence of God. A welcome from God to meet with him. And therefore, in a sense, this table of the showbread points forward to this table. The one before your eyes right now. Where the bread that is Christ is laid upon the table. That we would feed upon him and fellowship with him as Christ comes and as Christ in heaven prays for us. With the incense going off the altar of Calvary. We then meet with God and we feed upon Christ by faith. And not only that, it points forward even further to a heavenly table of communion. Where finally we will meet with the Lord for all eternity. And so in this table, in the table of showbread, we ought to see what our responsibility is right now. It is to meet with God. It's to meet with God by feeding upon Christ. And as we do so, we believe that the bread of presence is the guarantee that God will present himself with us today for the glory of his name.